Welcome to KBPS on PRP, a show featuring local news, music, and conversations, produced by students from AM 1450 KBPS, the Portland Public Schools radio station. I'm your host, Joe Anderson. You're listening to KBPS on PRP, with your FM dial tuned to 99.1. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland, or streaming online from any computer at prp.fm. KBPS on PRP, a new hour-long show featuring KBPS students on Portland radio projects.
Ted Wheeler proposes $27 million to build campsites in Portland, Oregon. Let's see what these Benson Tech students have to say about this.
Who are we here with?
Omari.
All right, Omari, what do you think about Ted Wheeler giving $27 million to build homeless shelters?
Who's Ted Wheeler?
The mayor.
I feel like that's a good thing, you know, to keep the streets clean and stuff like that. It needs to be a change in Portland. You know, I shouldn't be having to walk down the street and it's just nasty and stuff outside with a whole bunch of homeless camps and stuff. So I feel like that's a good thing, yeah.
Yes, thank sir. You, thank you. All right, who are we here with today?
Kayvon.
All right, so what do you think about Ted Wheeler giving $27 million to the homeless shelter?
That's a good thing, obviously. Homelessness is the biggest problem in Oregon right now, I would argue, and for him to do that, taking his own money out, that's good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kayvon, for being part of Benson Tech community. We really appreciate you being here, and thank you.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, who am I here with today?
Michael Tang.
All right, Michael, what do you think about Ted Wheeler giving $27 million to build homeless camps, homeless shelters?
I feel like that's okay, but you got to make sure the homeless stay healthy and get their back life on track and not give them free stuff.
Yes. That's what I like to hear, brother. Who am I here with today?
So I'm Graham.
What do you think about Ted Wheeler giving $27 million for homeless shelters in Portland?
Why, bro? Get that to me. I need that.
Thanks.
So that's what the Benson Tech students think about Ted Wheeler giving $27 million to build homeless camps in Portland. So what do you think?
This year is a historic year for Benson sports. We have a brand new swim team for the first time in 15 years. KBPS students Kimora and Charity got an interview with one of the students on the brand new swim team. Enjoy.
What up, y'all? It's Charity.
Hi, and it's Kimora. We're here with
Joseph Freelander.
So tell us about what's going on tonight.
Well, what's going on tonight at 5:30 to 9 will be my team's first swim match against other schools.
You said team. What team do you swim for?
The Benson swim team. The one that has been around for, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, so pretty new.
Yeah, they haven't had a swim team for 15 years, so it's pretty fun.
Are y'all good this year?
I see steady results with everyone. We got some people that need some practice, but hey, that's what it's all about. It's all about grinding in.
Practice
makes perfect. Yep.
Right. So how long have you been swimming competitively?
This is actually my first time.
Well, I wish you luck in your first match.
Think you come in last?
Man, Charity, you're asking all these heavy-hitting questions, but I don't think we will. I think we'll get pretty high. I think we'll all score pretty high.
That's what up.
I am not the best. Actually, I think there's two people I would say are the best on the team. Two people that have a lot of determination, a lot of skill.
Can you give them a shout out?
I don't know their names, but I've seen. No, I don't remember anyone on my team's names. I don't remember them.
Whoever those two people are out there, but shout out y'all for being the best people on y'all team.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, just do good in your match today, tonight. And yeah, just have, it's all about having fun.
It's all about having fun, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. We're wrapping this interview up with Mr. Freelander. Hopefully they bring the win back home since we ain't have no swimming team in years. Go Tech.
Thank you so much for this interview, Chilahosesk. I really appreciate it. I'm Kimora from KBPS.
And I'm Charity from KBPS.
And we're closing out. See ya.
Peace out.
Good day, listeners, and thank you for listening to the KBPS Hour. My name is Zip, and I'll be continuing my weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I'll be doing the song Only the Strong Survive by Bruce Springsteen's newest album that was released on November 11th. The album is a cover of R&B and soul songs, and his second cover album since We Shall Overcome, the Seeger Sessions in 2006. This album was produced by Columbia Records and was announced on September 29th. Let's take a listen.
Now I remember my first love. Of course, the whole thing went wrong. And my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. Cause I can still hear her saying. She said, boy, oh, I see you sitting out there all alone. Yeah, just crying your eyes out into the cold gray dawn. Now there's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. So listen to me, get up off your knees, cause only the strong survive. That's what she said. Only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you've gotta be strong. You've got to hold on. Only the strong survive. Don't go around with your head hanging down. I wouldn't let the girl know. She made you feel like a clown. Now there's a whole lot of girls just looking for a good man like you. But you ain't ever gonna meet him if you give up now and say your whole life is through. Cause only the strong survive. Only the strong survive.
Now I remember my first love. Of course, the whole thing went wrong. The 73-year-old announces in his warm crackle of a speaking voice, updating Jerry Butler's original with some slight variations in word choice and actorly chuckle. From there, it's almost note for note. The strings and backing vocals, the walking bass line, and mid-chorus fade out. Springsteen and his longtime producer, Ron Aniello, who, in the absence of most of the E Street Band, plays the majority of the instruments. Add oomph to the form of thrumping organ, a cadre of balmy backing vocals, and the East Street horns, you can hear Springsteen chuckling ruefully in the intro. His brawny vocal, that of an older man, contrasts the protagonist's youthful romantic despair. That's all for now. My name is Zip, and I'll be back on next week's KBPS Hour.
This is AM 1450 KBPS Portland, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. My name is Joe Anderson, KBPS Chief of Production and Benson High School Student Body President. This year, I'm working with the Benson Leadership Class and Communicare Oregon to raise funds for nonprofits who provide essential services to immigrant and refugee families here in the Portland area. Your donation is being matched 10 times, and we only need a small amount to make a big impact. More information, including our mission statement, and information on donating can be found on the KBPS website, kbps.am. Again, that's kbps.am.
Hello, this is Colby with the KBPS team, and today I was reading an article about Elon Musk and how he had renovated some rooms in Twitter HQ, and I believe in San Francisco, into bedrooms. And, you know, that just got me thinking about how ever since Elon Musk has acquired Twitter, it has been a downward spiral. You know, I used to be someone who was very interested in Elon Musk and thought he has done a lot of good stuff. But the more I've looked into him, the more I've realized at the end of the day, he's more just a spoiled brat with too much money. I think him buying Twitter perfectly fits who he is as a person. Because all he cares about is power, money, fame, and just basically letting everybody do whatever they want with no real consequence behind it. You can go on Twitter right now and say absolutely whatever you want and you won't be punished. I mean, let's take Kanye West, for example. Time after time after time, he has said very anti-Semitic things and he has not been punished at all. The only time he was punished was right after he posted a picture, a very unflattering picture of Elon Musk being sprayed by somebody. I'm not quite sure who he is. But that really shows you who Elon Musk is a person. He's okay with reinstating Kanye after all this anti-Semitic stuff, dealing with it. And he only deleted his account because of an unflattering picture. I feel like Elon Musk buying Twitter perfectly represents who he is as a person in the fact that he doesn't care about anybody but himself as long as he's making money and he's happy. After the first week of Elon Musk buying Twitter, hate speech went up by 500,000%. That there was, I have a Twitter now. I very rarely go on it, but after he bought it, I was very curious to see what it was like. And I open up Twitter, and I'm just scrolling, looking at a few things, and I notice a certain thing that's trending. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I started scrolling through it, and I saw that there are people posting pictures of Hitler being very racist, being very anti-Semitic, and, you know, sitting here and seeing that this guy who's supposed to be all for free speech, allowing this stuff, technically, yes, it is free speech, but he is just outright ignoring all of the countless people who have been who are affected by this even to this day. And let's take his subscription, for example. It's $8 for a blue check mark. He's someone who claims to be all for free speech, right? Then why do you have to pay for it? Because if you look at it, he says that if you don't have a blue check mark, you won't be shown basically at all. That doesn't seem like free speech to me. So How can this guy sit here and claim that he's all for free speech when he only wants to profit off of it? I genuinely do believe that Elon Musk buying Twitter is probably one of the worst things that can happen to a social media platform, because I know you've seen the first week that there is going to be nothing but hate and violence being promoted on Twitter. I really do hope that eventually Twitter bounces out and that someone does actually come through and make Elon Musk really crack down on the hate speech, on the anti-Semitism, on everything really that's going on Twitter and how it's basically at the... With that being said, I hope that everybody has a good day and that that hopefully eventually Twitter will eventually be better. This is Colby with the KBPS radio team. Hopefully everyone has a good day.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Now through December 31st, PRP is part of Willamette Week Give Guide fundraising campaign, where donors can support their favorite nonprofits and get some awesome incentives in return. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
Hello, this is Makai D.E. from Makai and Dane's Creation Corner. Today, we'll be talking about villainy, villains, and what makes them scary slash evil. The first thing on our roster today is just what a villain is. So, let's look at what Google has to say. Google says that a villain is a character from a novel, movie, or play whose evil actions slash motivations further the plot of said story. Well, I have to say I agree with that. A villain is a character who is the conflict in the story, or can further the conflict in the story. The person who the hero has to fight, has to overcome. Think about what comes to mind when you think of a villain. You think of, I suppose if you're in America, you might think of the Joker, maybe Moriarty from Sherlock Holmes, the Evil Queen from Snow White. What makes these villains memorable, and what makes them villainous? Well, let's break it down. Their attitude. The Joker's attitude is pretty iconic, huh? And paired with Batman's stoicism, it paints a very interesting picture. But what if the Joker was the serious one of the group, and Batman was the off-the-walls one? It would be a very different type of villainy. Maybe the Joker would be, very serious, very planning, always plotting? It would be a very different dynamic. Well, that's how attitude plays into villainy, and how it creates a villain. If you have a villain who is very serious, it adds the part that whilst they're very serious, they would also have to plan things because they're so serious and always thinking. But how about how they affect the hero? The Evil Queen from Snow White is a very simple example of how a villain can affect a hero. The Evil Queen takes innocent, pure Snow White and tries to kill her. It's a very simple way to interact with each other. One wants the other dead, the other does not want to be dead. But it doesn't always have to be that simple all the time. Let's look at N from Pokemon. He is technically a villain, but he's not evil. He doesn't hurt the main protagonist. He instead hurts the institution the protagonist stands for. He is against Pokemon fighting, whilst the protagonist is for Pokemon fighting. Now, those are some ways villains work, but they're not the only ways to break them down. One of my favorite ways to create villains is to mirror character traits or motivations from your hero. Let's say your hero wants to be, the strongest in the world. Our villain could also want to be the strongest, but goes about reaching that goal in a hurtful way. Therefore, when our hero has to fight the villain, they realize that if they had gone down the same path, they would have hurt others as well. I think this is a really fun way to do villains because it adds depth to your story and adds a parallel between your hero and villain. It creates inner turmoil for when your hero eventually does contact your villain. But this is all I have on villainy today, folks. So this is Makai DE signing off. Hope y'all have a splendid, wormless day, unless you're a lizard. Then have as many worms as you'd like. But otherwise, good day, stay safe, and all of the pleasantries.
To let you know, you are invited to a very special holiday concert that's happening right here at the Marshall High School Auditorium on Sunday, December 18th from 2 to 4 p.m. And the performance is put on by the Rose City Pride Band and their Wind Symphony. And with us is Denny from Rose City Pride Band. Denny, thank you so much for taking a minute to talk with us.
Thank you, Jacob. It's nice to be here.
First of all, for our listeners who might not be familiar with Rose City Pride and your band and the Wind Symphony and the marching band, tell us everything. Tell us about who you are and how long have you been doing this?
Right. So the mission of the Rose City Pride Bands is to create a welcoming space for the members and allies of the LGBTQ plus communities to form connections through music. And our platforms are Wind Symphony, where we have on average of 35 to 60 members. We have a marching program or a pride pep band program that can be up to around 100 members. And then we have a swing band, which is around 20 members. We were formed in the late 80s and became a nonprofit in 1990. So in 2020, during the lockdown, we had our 30th anniversary. That's a little bit about who we are. Music is a universal language. It's one of those things that no matter where you're from or what culture you're in or how you were brought up or what environment you're in currently, it provides an avenue for an uplifting, feel-good experience. And different styles, different rhythms, tempos, notes, all provide avenues for us to get connected to each other through the avenue of music and musical performance. And one of the fortunate things about coming to a program like the one on December 18th is that it's live music. Some of the music on this performance will feel very familiar and some of it might feel very brand new. And that's what we're hoping to bring to the program on Sunday.
That's beautiful, Denny. And I was looking at your website, and I think I read something along the lines that you kind of have an open, like your group is open to other musicians. If somebody plays an instrument and maybe wants to join your group or your band, can people do that, or how do they do that?
That's correct. We're a completely non-audition organization currently. We have open seating, so anybody's welcome to come in and sit in for a rehearsal. We have programs. The symphony has programs that start January through June and then August through December. And then the swing band rehearses and performs all year long. And the swing band has a limited number of seats, and the proficiency to be in that group is a little bit higher caliber. The Wind Symphony, we, if anybody knows, the grade levels of music tend to play in the grade level of 4 and 5 music, although the holiday programs tend to be a little bit more light fare, like grades 2 and 3. So it's a little bit more accessible. The Pride program is, you know, park and bark music. You know, we sit at the Portland Marathon and play a marathon of music all day long, or we'll participate in AIDS Walk Portland, or we'll do the Portland Pride Parade. And it's usually stand tunes that are completely approachable by anybody. I had a 17-year break between playing music before I joined up again, and it took me only a handful of months to get really comfortable once again. It's like riding a bike.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's beautiful. And we do have the concert coming up here on December 18th at Marshall High School Auditorium in Southeast Portland. The concert is free, and it's anyone is welcome to come and enjoy it. But you also do have a little table out front, and you accept donations if anybody wants to donate to help support you, right?
That's correct. In 2015, we changed our model to make all of our concerts available at no cost to anybody who wants to come and listen. It opened up avenues for outreach in communities that didn't have access and accessibility to go to performances. If we look at like the most recent stuff, you know, concert tickets are pricey, and trying to bring a family of four to go see a concert can be pretty stressful on a financial level, especially during the holidays. And so we like to offer up no cost to the folk that like to come and listen, just as an avenue for people to have access to music.
I want to mention again, the next upcoming concert is happening here at Marshall High School in the auditorium, Southeast Portland, on Sunday, December 18th from 2 to 4 p.m., a special holiday concert put on by the Rose City Pride Band Wind Symphony. It's a free show. All are welcome. And I cannot thank you enough for bringing more music into our lives. It's a beautiful thing, and I appreciate it very much. I know, I'm sure some of our listeners and concert goers appreciate what you do too.
Great. Thank you.
Again, thank you so much, Denny, for taking the time to chat with us. Really appreciate it, and happy to help get the word out about your bands and what you're doing, and definitely want to let folks know about this concert. Now, here is a couple minutes of the last concert that you played right here at Benson High School at the Marshall campus. This concert took place last month in November, and this is just about 5 minutes or so of what the Rose City Pride Band Wind Symphony sounds like. It give you an idea of what the holiday show coming up might sound like as well. Thanks for listening to KBPS on PRP. Enjoy. Thank you.
Joe Anderson here, Benson High School student body president. This year, I'm working to raise funds for local nonprofits providing essential services to immigrant and refugee families in the Portland area. More information, including our mission statement and information on donating, can be found on the KBPS website, kbps.am. Again, that's kbps.am. This is KBPS Portland.
Hi, good morning. My name is Jacob Patterson. I'm the KBPS radio broadcasting instructor at Benson High School. This next segment is a showcase of a special project that was completed by our sophomores in the Communication Design Academy pathway here at Benson High School. What we do in the Communication Design Academy pathway is teachers work together to develop collaborative projects that students work in all of their classes. And we're learning with these collaborative projects that it really helps to reinforce the lessons, techniques, and skills that we're trying to teach students. For example, this project we call Pin Drop. How the Pin Drop project works is it starts in English class, where students write about a person or a place in our community that's significant to the student. Students finalize the writing piece in English class and then take it to their multimedia classes. In digital media, students create an image that represents the person or place or their story that they wrote about. Then students can go to photography and take pictures that are related to their person or place that they wrote about. In video production, students can produce a short film that's related to their person or place. And here in radio broadcasting at KBPS, I have students record their stories and try to incorporate what that person or place they wrote about sounds like. And if students are able, they go out and get sound recordings of that person or place. So now we'd like to share with you a handful of these Pin Drop projects that were produced by KBPS students here at Benson High School. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy.
We found trees grouped splitting out from the center. It was the perfect spot for a new fort. Raleigh and Ellery are the ones who thought of it. If me and my brother could get along like that, we would have already built enough forts for a village. As we carry the branches and bark to our new place, I can already see the results of our hard work in taking in all of my brother's whining. We finished a little faster than expected, so we had a little house on the side for Magic Beans to stop by. We can't let them stay for too long because they can be dangerous and annoying, but they clean things and leave treats for us when visiting. I don't know why they do it. The forest feels nice and quiet, yet unsafe and stressful. Now I can hear yelling. The closest thing to trees is my succulents eating up my stress. The magic beans have stayed for too long, and now they're upset. My room is gray even with the sun out. Everyone is at school, and I'm here wishing I was in the forest.
Let me tell you a story in the wonderful land, the tale of Stalestine. A place up this hill, a place by the grass. Yes, let me tell you the tale of Benson High. Yes, this was the hill, grassy and tall, where we fled the Dean. You see this building, how it's so very tall, so very lean? We climbed up here before having to flee. The view was great, the sky was clear, not a cloud to be seen. I could hear the wind wailing, and then we saw the Dean. She was staring us down, knives flew from her eyes. We started to scream and to shout. Who is she calling? Our parents? The guards? We jumped from the roof, pompous and tall, a building as old as time. And as we scattered, and as we ran, we wished we could stop, look back, and save that moment in time.
I'd like to talk about a few places in our community. The reason I'm talking about these places is that they're important. They're milestones in our life, places that we visit. They're places we've grown or changed as people, and I think that's really important. And I've written a bit of a long story about some of these places that I've been in, and I'd like to tell you them. So,
trailers. I've lived in a lot of trailers, and I'll probably live in one for the rest of my life. The one I remember best is the one that I lived in the longest. It is small, or I remember it so, so small, that if you took out all of the cupboards and desks in almost any classroom, in almost any school, in almost any place, maybe even cleared out the singing lights, you could fit at least 7.5, counted it on my fingers as a sort of test and grade for new classes and spaces almost all of middle school, in it. But the size made it easier to move around, and easier to heat and cool, as well as making it harder to get stuck. The small and cool walls muted it all. It had 3 sections, a top bed area, side a good height away from the floor, and that was closest to where the trailer would be tacked up to the truck, where one could have put a bed, but instead we put bins, pans, and any other thing collected along the way, and below that, my mom slept. She made a bed by laying a bunch of bins under a large plywood sheet, the kind that is made from thin wooden scales flattened into splinter-inducing shapes that I will never touch if I have the choice to. Then had a blow-up mattress put on top of it, whilst I, nearer to the back of the trailer, slept in a little corner surrounded by open cupboards stacked to the brim with porcelain dolls and other knick-knacks that were either lost or buried over the years. The rest of it was walking space and more cupboards. Now that the little thing is gone, tucked away into a cupboard of its own, I miss its cramped and cold smell. Everything else is too warm, too filled with summer roads and flies. It was so easy to be quiet in that place. Everything else is too loud. Now that's the end of my story. Very long, and I did say it was. So now I'll be recording a bit of a mock-up for what some of those places sounded like. Now, of course, I don't live in any of those places, and I doubt I could track them down, as most of them were destroyed or were very random. But instead, I'll just be recording sounds of my normal house for about, let's say, a minute. Makai out!
My favorite moment was at Rose City Comic Con. I've only been 4 times, but dang, it was fun as ever. I've met so many cool people and took pictures with many people as well, and I've even exchanged contact with new friends. When I walked in, I smelled all the different sorts of food that people walked by and had, from chicken strips and fries to burgers and fries and all sorts of other foods. And more into the exhibit halls, well, to be honest, it smelled like sweat because of all the walking around and the sweaty cosplays, but you get used to it. I feel like I'm my best self there because I felt confident in my cosplay, and as it turns out, I share cosplays and even interests with many more people than I expected. Still not judging, because it was great. I don't meet many people who like what I like. I'm typically used to people judging my interests, like Dream SMP or Hell of a Boss, but it's nice to meet people who have the same interests for a change. As I'm walking around with my new friends and my growing friend group, we went to this one cafe with really good drinks and smoothies. Yes, it was a 30-minute line for a medium strawberry smoothie. Hell, it was worth the wait. Although half the group started to descend to the grill across the exhibit hall, then we lost them. Either way, in conclusion, Comic-Con is great, and it's definitely where I'm my best self, and I'm not afraid to show my best self and not be judged, instead joined by my gremlin-like behavior.
I'm familiar with how these rides can go. The bumpy roads that violently shake the flimsy blue seats. The hard seats that after a long trip somehow start to feel like a grand sofa. The beeps and exhaust that releases every stop. The vents at the very back that suck hair up. Saying I'm familiar doesn't mean that everything's expected. I never expect who I see. I see different people from all over the city. Thousands of stories I'll never get a chance to hear all of.
I feel my best when I'm in my living room at night. While I'm in there, someone is in the kitchen as I can hear the spoon hitting the bowl while they eat, like waves of water hitting the land at the beach. I even get to smell what they're eating. In the living room, there's a leather couch which is always ice cold as camping in the forest at night. I slowly lay on the couch and felt the leather cool my skin. As I sink onto the couch, I might hear rustling from my dog's bed as she gets up to get water or to change positions on her bed. She's paranoid when she tries to sleep and can wake up to anything like someone checking their pocket to make sure their phone is still there. My brother might be playing video games in the next door room. He's loud enough for me to hear him, and it might be a roller coaster of noise. He could be yelling, Then, just immediately, he could just start to be quiet. Often there's a faint purple LED light I can see in the other living room because it's too dark in my house at night. Sometimes I might want to take a nap. I'm able to feel my body start to shut down like a computer turning off. My eyes begin to weigh as a ton as I get sleepy, unable to keep my eyes open for too long. As I fall asleep, I always wake up because I'm too tall for the couch.
On the boulder, suspended only by my hands against the rough holds, my tendons straining. The air smelled of chalk and of sweat. Despite my best efforts, I fell to the ground onto the soft mats, accompanied by the typical thwoom. Though I failed, I tried again and again. At last, I found myself near the top, having overcome the biggest hurdle. Mere feet away, I stretched my arm. Cold sweat dripping down, and grasped the final hold. Atop the boulder I stood, 15 feet above the ground. There are no stairs down.
There was a time when Mom was gardening in the backyard and a big nutria came out of nowhere. The nutria started to eat the plants and vegetables my mom grew. It looked cute and its eyes sparkled while eating the sour leaf. Every time I looked through the door to my backyard to see the nutria, it would be there. Then one day I found out that the nutria was becoming a mother because her belly got bigger. A few days later, I saw 3 baby nutrias in my backyard eating the vegetables my mom grew. The baby nutrias always stuck together, which reminded me of my 2 older sisters and I. I would also go outside in my backyard and listen to them munching on the sour leaf. Whenever I go to my backyard, I see the nutrias and hear them munching on the sour leaf like a bunny chewing its carrot. I'd even pull a piece of spearmint in my mom's garden and taste the cooling of the mint. In my background, I could smell the aroma of jasmine flowers and hear birds chirp when they come by. Unfortunately, the three baby nutrias' mother passed away, which is heartbreaking. But I'm so happy that the 3 nutrias stayed together.
I'm Ryan Jill for Communication Design Academy at Benson. The place that I want to talk about in my community is Bakersfield, California. The reason why I'm talking about this place is because I was born there. Here's a story about my place. California, by My Angel Shaw. During the summer, the grass would shine so bright under the sun. I was blinded by how bright they were. It was like wheat, but unedible. I love the golden grass of California, the crisp air of pollution and burned wood. The aura of fire burns my nostrils and moistens my neck. The fire reminds me of screams and terrors from none other than the wood itself and living that are engulfed by it. I pass a dead village of dead of trees whenever I travel home to my family in Bakersfield. I feel deeply saddened. I miss my people, my uncles, aunts and cousins. I miss the normalization of heavy weather. California, the land of golden grass. My home is surrounded by sand. It's an oasis, a dry and shriveled oasis. I remember the rivers filled with water that are now bare. The trees I used to chill in during lunchtime were cut down or burned. Nothing is truly the same as when I was 5 years younger. It's not as damp as in the previous years. No, I don't feel nice cold breezes anymore. And no, I don't hate the hot air. I am actually in love with it. I love to see coyotes at night and jumping kangaroo mice in the evening. They would gather together, those mice, the coyotes not so much. They would normally remind me of lone wolves with comrades. The tumbleweeds would make me laugh as they passed my vision. This town's not big enough for the two of us, I would patronize. They maybe recall the SpongeBob movie my family watched together on a pirated CD. I used to watch SpongeBob continuously with my aunt on the floor. The coldest it's been is only frost in the morning. I would wear a puffet jacket in the winter because the weather was too cold for me at the time. I still haven't changed my mind. The winter is still cold. Oregon's weather is even more freezing. I can't possibly get used to it. Even 5 years have passed since I've moved. The cold is unnecessarily deadly to my warming heart. It's like blizzards to my body. The cold could cause my body to shiver uncontrollably. Back in California, the heat would only get higher throughout the day. The afternoons were the best part of it all. The sun ablaze, the warmth activated what seemed to be sweat. But I never sweat like how the athletes did. They were sweating nothing but buckets. Mind you, get out of the field, I've been patronized. Mind you, promise me you won't get in our game. I've promised, but I have not kept. Afternoons in California were special. My skin boiled like mother's chicken noodle soup. Don't get me wrong, it was indeed terrible. But what's different about this weather is that I enjoyed it. No better weather than the heat. I remember always chilling under the patios for shade and coolness. My friends are waiting for the computer lab to open up for lunch. We all cry for winter to surface, but day by day it never welcomed itself. I miss the longing for rain. Oh, the rarity of the trickling symphony. I miss the excitement it gave me. There's nothing better than to sit inside a rainy day. Back in California, when it was the end of the day at elementary school, "Let's run," a mature voice called out to me. I could only giggle. I rushed into the car all soaked, wondering if I'll ever be dry again. Nowadays, nobody hovers under shelter anymore. I have evolved to never cover my head to the raindrops. I miss the peace rain gave me. I got it all too used to its wetness. California? It doesn't rain in California. No, it does. Not in the farthest parts of the southeast. I recall only playing with the hose outside and Barbies indoors. It was likely both. Me and my sisters just swallowed up in our imaginations. Under the rain, it was murder week. The rain was most exciting to me. I wanted to see it pour nonstop. Oh, sitting down and watching Clue on Halloween after bagging a whole block of possibly expired candy. Last year, I only stayed home and had a small party outdoors. It wasn't all that exciting, just staying home, eating candy. We didn't even watch a movie. Oregon, it's one of those places where they have all types of weather. I wouldn't say it's predictable without a weather check. You can never know what it would be like the next day. I layered like cakes just to avoid the shivering in the winters. It's quite scary to approach my birthday. Oh, I had to layer like a penguin. It was petrifying when you couldn't see miles around you due to the fog. What's worse is the frostbite between your nails trying to catch your bus in the morning. It would take only 2 minutes for the sickness to overcome you. My family calls it sick season. I call it hell. Imagine being sick on your birthday. I wouldn't want to be. Oregon hasn't had its best first impression on me, but I still enjoy its peaceful scenery, its tourist attractions and cafes. Oregon, I now live in an entirely different state. It was a different culture compared to California. A variety of different mentalities are welcome to me. It is extremely cold in the winter, more extreme than the winters in my home state. Whenever I look around, I don't feel surrounded by mountains like the old valley. I can't drive 2 minutes just to see my family. I can't go next door to my family's house anymore. Things are different, but it's okay. I have accepted not having the opportunities that I was given before. The feeling of despair and absence reoccurred to me, reminding me that I wasn't born here like everyone else. I don't feel connected to Oregon like my friends do. Oh, I like my living. I love to try new things. I love the greenery. My mother became a plant mom. Life is good in Portland. People are odd here, not as odd as in the previous years. I think I just got used to it. Autumn is one of my favorite seasons in Oregon. I do like California Bakersfield, but it's time to let the past go.
Again, you've been listening to a special project called Pin Drop that was produced by KBPS sophomores in the Communication Design Academy pathway here at Benson Polytechnic High School. Thanks for listening to KBPS on PRP.
To support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Now through December 31st, PRP is part of Willamette Week Give Guide fundraising campaign, where donors can support their favorite nonprofits and get some awesome incentives in return. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart. KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry, streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland, on the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.